This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, Dingwai World Class Mart, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
To short, Anderson crossed the diamond. Close, he dropped it, and the Red Sox win it. Benintendi in to score, and the Sox win the game. They walk off another one, 6-5. Anderson skipping the throw. Abreu could not handle it, and the Red Sox win the ball game and take game one.
Yeah, crank up that dirty water over at Fenway Park. Final call last night's somewhat anticlimactic walk-off win for the Red Sox. Marco Hernandez comes through with an infield single to give the Red Sox the 6-5 win in the bottom of the ninth. Welcome into the Baseball Reporters. It's a summer book, so usual faces in different places. Jim Murray, Marshall Hook in for Tony Maz tonight. As far as last night's game goes, that's all really I'd like to say about it. Honestly, if you want to crow about the bullpen, because I've already got some of those. See, the bullpen's not that bad. Fine. Trash Rafael Devers for terrible base running in the fourth inning. Laugh at the White Sox for purposely walking Jackie Bradley Jr. and being afraid of him. You can do any of that at 617-779-0985. We'll entertain it. But honestly, for me, over my dead body, do I want to sit here for the next hour and attempt to yammer on about that one game for full hour? I can't. I won't. So what I'd rather do instead is throw a handful of questions at Marshall Hook, who still loves the game of baseball so much that, correct me if I'm wrong, Hook, you literally just spent the last week traveling these United States and visiting a handful of ballparks with your family.
We did. We took off last Sunday, didn't get home until last night, and in the process, I managed to take my wife and four kids to games at Toronto's Sky Dome, at Wrigley Field, and at the ballpark Busch Stadium in St. Louis. We also got off the road in Detroit and walked around Comerica Park to take that one in.
Were they? Oh, so they were home and just you didn't bother going into?
Yeah, it was the middle of the day and we were on our way to Chicago. So we didn't have time to spend the night in Detroit, which is not a thing you hear a lot of people say. I just didn't have the time to spend the night in Detroit. But I figured we'd at least get off the road and look around a little bit.
And did you? Were these like bucket list items? Are you one of those that want to hit every single ballpark?
Well, I do. And in fact, I had already been to Toronto and Wrigley. So St. Louis was my only new ballpark
on
this trip. It was very nice. It is my 41st major league ballpark in which I've seen a major league. So not even just like visiting the property. I actually have to go in and see a game there. I've done that in 41 different major league ballparks. But the Wrigley Field thing was a big thing for my two older kids. My son started to love baseball during the Cubs run a couple years ago, and so he's really into the Cubs, and they both like the Red Sox. So, they're doing that thing where they have a National League team and an American League team. Front runners, both my punk little kids. But they really wanted to see Wrigley, and I had not been to Wrigley since, I think, like 1995, when I'd only been to maybe three ballparks. So I kind of wanted to go back and visit it again to now, have the
And they've built that area up so much.
Yeah, and it's kind of, there are a lot of people who hate Fenway Park, and I get it. And they talk about the seat size and cup holders and all of that stuff. But I honestly believe that if you go and you see a lot of other people's ballparks, and if you're interested in more than just a comfortable seat, because, yes, there are a lot of ballparks that have more comfortable seats. If you're actually kind of into what I think baseball gives itself to, the whole aura of the game and all of that, and appreciate a good ballpark. I used to think, Fenway Park, whatever. And then I went and saw, 15, 20, 30 other ballparks, and I come back to Fenway Park, and I'm like, this thing is fantastic.
Oh,
gorgeous.
You get a greater appreciation for it when you go to somewhere like Skydome, and that's what I'll still always call it. I saw you tweet that, too. It'll always be Skydome to me, or Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, which may as well be a mall. And you're like, oh, these places suck.
Yeah.
So you come back home, you get a greater appreciation for it. But I set you up that way because it just proves, you still genuinely do care about the game. I did those trips when I was a kid with my dad, too. I didn't knock off as many as, 42 or 41, but you know, came somewhat close, and it is a good thing to do at that age. But I'm going to pepper you with questions because you do genuinely care. So
I
first, tonight, game 81 for the Red Sox, the official halfway point of the 162-game season. Just your overall thoughts on this ball team, and do you want to see them add or peel off for the future? And a lot of this stems from a column yesterday by Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe, who's typically one of the gatekeepers for this team, where he's saying, well, they should consider selling. And it feels like to me, after reading this thing, I don't think that there's anything nefarious behind it. We kind of brought that up on the Felger and Matt show today, that maybe he's doing the bidding of Dave Dombrowski in ownership. But, I don't know, a guy that's like him, is around the team day in, day out since spring training. For him to say, hey, offer an extension to Mookie Betts, if he says no, deal him. Offer an extension or an opt-out, rather, to J.D. Martinez, he says no, deal him. On and on and on. To me, I see this, and it's like, okay, he sees there's a funk emanating from this team that he sees. It's not working. You obviously hang on to some of your younger core, like Benintendi, Devers, Xander Bogaerts, but, you know, build towards the future, because you really don't have much when it comes to the farm system. So what do you want to see them do? Sell or actually add, especially when it comes to the bullpen?
I mean, so we discussed this a little bit during the program concluded, and I was a much more in the sell column before free agency kind of changed the complexion of things. Because when they still hadn't re-signed Xander Bogaerts and they still hadn't re-signed Chris Sale and all of that, you know, there was a lot less certainty with what this team was going to look like in even a single season. So some of that is out the door. Xander Bogaerts signed for a little under market value. Chris Sale pretty much signed at market value. You know, David Price opted in, like it or not. But so there's a little more reason to kind of hold on to some of these guys. But at the same time, I look at it and say, well, this season, I just don't think it's not that they can't play better. And it's not that they're not going to play a lot of cupcake teams and get some wins. But the same thing holds true for Tampa Bay and the New York Yankees, the two teams in front of you in your own division. And by the way, the Cleveland Indians, who have their own version of Baltimore, and the Kansas City Royals in their division. And those are three teams that are sitting in front of you right now, two of which you would have to leapfrog to get into the postseason. And I just don't know that in this one half the season left that they're going to have the ability to do that, that we can count on Minnesota or Tampa or Cleveland or New York or two or three of those teams to all fall back. So do I think they need to do a wholesale, you know, blowout of everybody? No. But if J.D. Martinez doesn't think he's going to come back and you can actually recoup something this season, and I think you could get value for him, then maybe that helps you set up for a better run next year, right? So you trade J.D. Martinez, you finally have some money to, and I understand this team's got money out the wazoo, but, you know, they also are up against the salary or the, you know, the whatever it's called.
The luxury tax.
The luxury tax. I was going to say salary cap. That's obviously not it. And we know that despite the fact that they spend money, you certainly can't fault them for that. They have kind of reached their limit. So for them to do something, they're going to need to find money somewhere. And maybe that's J.D. Martinez. And yeah, so I would look at that.
I think he and Mookie Betts are the two that you really got to explore. Especially a guy who is now, I think, going to be 32, or, you know, is 32, and J.D. Martinez is now dealing with, I think you can call them, continuing back issues. Any sport that you talk about, any pro athlete that's dealing with reoccurring back issues, that's a major red flag. So if you can get, you know, again, you go to him with this opt-out on the table, he says no to it, doesn't agree, you know he doesn't want to ultimately be here long-term, so you try to move him. Mookie Betts, same thing. I don't think he's going to get the $400 million. The Red Sox, I think, know his number. It feels like he's not going through the motions, but it's been kind of a slog of a season for him. The numbers are down. If he doesn't want the extension you offer him, then you know you can't get anything done with him. You have to explore moving him because you can't just let him go to free agency in, what, you know, two seasons or whatever it is, season and a half, and you ultimately just get a draft pick back. That's negligent. That would be negligent on behalf of the Red Sox. So those two guys, I think you do have to explore it with.
Knowing how much you could get for them, and again, I don't remember it off the top of my head, but if you look at what the Orioles got for Manny Machado, for 2 months of Manny Machado last year, to a team that, may or may not, but it didn't matter to them. They wanted him for that season. Imagine what you could get for a year and a half or a year and 2 months of Mookie Betts. And how doesn't that just completely backfill your farm system in a way that this team desperately needs?
Tonight's game, David Price is your starter. Obviously, his last couple of starts, it does feel like something could be going on with that unique elbow. So another thing to watch as the Red Sox play game 81 tonight, the official halfway point of the season. How are you feeling about your team? At 617-790-985, you want to talk about that? And again, if you do want to weigh in on anything from last night's game, we can do that as well. But I'm not going to spend the whole hour on it, and I only have Hook here until 6:30. He's got a split. You have what, a town meeting in Topsfield?
Park and Cemetery Commission meeting.
Yes.
I am a Park and Cemetery Commissioner in the lovely town of Topsfield.
So he's doing his own Parks and Rec. So there's other questions I want to ask you, Hook, when we come back as well. Your thoughts on the fact that the Red Sox are playing a quick series against the Yankees, not New York, but London this coming weekend, and the Tampa Bay Rays given permission by Major League Baseball last week to explore a possibility of splitting their games in Tampa and Montreal. I'm sure you have some thoughts on that as well. You've been away. I want to hear them. So we'll do all that coming up. Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Marshall Hook in for Tony Maz. And Hook's been off on vacation, seeing other ballparks throughout these great United States. He was in St. Louis, Chicago, up in Toronto, seeing that old dump, which we'll still refer to as the Sky Dome. It's now up to, what, 41?
41 ballparks.
41 ballparks. It's a man who genuinely still cares about Major League Baseball. I want to pepper him with questions because he's been away and there's things to talk about with this team and the game itself. 617-779-0985 if you want to chime in as well. And let us know how you're feeling about your ball team. And we'll still go with what we were talking about last night on this show as a filled-in for Maz. Do you want to see them add or peel off for the future as the Red Sox play game 81 tonight? Looks like the weather is going to hold off, so you'll get the second of the three-game series against the visiting White Sox. All right, so another thing I want to ask you, Hook, is this coming weekend, the Red Sox, when they wrap up with the White Sox, they'll be in London to play the Yankees. This thing's obviously been booked for a while. Maz hates the idea because it could potentially throw the Red Sox off. Now, granted, he was feeling really good about them and actually bought in after they had the series win against the Minnesota Twins. He started to actually buy in. He started to believe. This was before the weekend series against Toronto. But all that being said, do you like the idea of this series, two-game series, being played in London against New York?
I mean, I'll say on the one hand, I don't care about it in the framework of an entire season. Like, I don't dislike it because I think it's going to adversely affect the Red Sox. That part of it doesn't matter to me, but I don't get it. Like, when the NFL plays in London, it's a single game, and they can make that a cash thing that they could do every year. Like, you know, they could theoretically move a team there. It's a little bit harder, but with the NFL, when you play once a week, that can work. That can make sense. I don't think it's something that needs to be done, but what is the goal of base? You're not going to have a team in London.
Yeah, like,
that's never going to work. You're not going to, I mean, are they making so much money on three or two games that it really matters? So mine is more of a quizzical, I don't understand what the goal of this is. Is it to, what, over two games, make the people of England fall in love with baseball so much that they all buy the MLB international package? I don't think that's a realistic outcome. So other than it making a nice TV show or some nice Instagram pictures of people going, yay, Blarney Stone, I know that's Ireland, but whatever, I love baseball, I don't see the point of it. So I don't hate it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't really hate it. Like, Maz is completely out on it because he thinks it could potentially really throw them off, especially if they end up losing the two games to New York and they got to come back and, you know, say they lose a series to Detroit. It's like, okay, they're all of a sudden reeling. So I can understand that. But for me, I don't know, like, I'm with you. What's the point of it? And you know what I come to is that I think it's kind of a vanity project for John Henry. Obviously, he has ties with Liverpool and the soccer club. So it almost feels like, okay, let me bring the Red Sox over there so maybe I can make more merchandise money down the road because I can help sell the Red Sox in terms of a merchandising and PR type standpoint by bringing them over there. And the same for the Yankees, too, but more for John Henry because of his ties.
Yeah, and if you didn't have the Yankees, like, I'm willing to bet that if I walk through the streets of London and got people to name baseball teams, the Yankees might be the only one that any of them could name. So if you were going to do this, you pretty much needed the Yankees to be one of those two teams. And I know this may be, you know, crushing news for Red Sox fans who thinks that they're a worldwide brand, but nope. I think maybe the Yankees, maybe the Dodgers, that would be it.
Quickly, I do want to entertain this call because it's Yankee related. John in Braintree, go ahead.
Hey guys. Hey, do you think the Yankees are going to go out and make a move for a pitcher, or do you think they're going to wait to see what they can get from Severino, Domingo Germán, and Jordan Montgomery when he gets back?
So it's a Yankee fan wondering about the potential trade deadline. I do know this. I mean, the talk over the last like 24 hours on social media is that their next pitcher is in the park because they have the series against the Blue Jays, and it's Marcus Stroman.
Long Island native, yeah. Somebody who the Blue Jays may be looking to deal and who the Yankees would have whatever it takes to get. So
they're going to try to add to that rotation. Clint Frazier, I would think, is probably going to be the piece they're going to trade. The one thing I read on this recently is that they want to have someone with a longer-term deal if they're going to trade Frazier. Stroman is in the last year of his deal, or he's up for arbitration next year. So I don't know. But I would expect Marcus Stroman to be in a Yankee uniform in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think the Yankees are ever a team to say, oh, we'll try out this AAA guy before right. We make a trade.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to ask you, Hook, before you get a split, while you're away, the Tampa Bay Rays, given permission by Major League Baseball's executive council to begin exploring an unusual possibility, that is to split their games between Tampa Bay, the Tampa Bay area, and Montreal. And in fact, there was another meeting about this today with Rays ownership, and they said they doubled down on this. Like, this Tampa-Montreal thing is their best option. So your thoughts on this idea?
I think it is a wonderful wake-up call for those people, and I think there are fewer of them now than there have been in the past who say baseball should expand, that they should add teams. The notion that you're going to have a team play in two markets that can't support baseball, and that's the only way they can get of a supportive enough. I mean, if I am a Tampa Bay Ray fan living in Tampa, am I really going to continue my fandom after they say, and how's it going to work? Are they going to alternate weeks? Are they going to alternate months? Is it going to be the first 3 months and then the second 3 months
it's
in
that.
Montreal?
Yeah, you know, no, so you've been away. So that's how the plan would be. The preliminary plan would be essentially during the bad weather in the beginning of the season, they would play essentially the first half in Tampa and then the second half is up in Montreal.
That's insane.
Right.
This is like the worst thing I've ever heard. Montreal, and this gives me a chance to circle back to the 41 ballparks I've been to. Olympic Stadium in Montreal is 41st in my rankings and a hard 41st, like solid. I think at 39 is the Tampa Ray ballpark. So if you really want a team that's just going to alternate between two of the worst ballparks ever created in the history of mankind, go Tampa Bay. What they should do is get rid of a couple teams, starting with Tampa, probably Oakland, that, you know, has a kind of fan base of sorts, but will never get a new stadium there. Start to shrink the number of teams that we have. That'll improve the quality of play. It won't do anything to shorten it, but at least make it a little bit better. That's the direction they should go. This idea, it's just a soup of insanity. I don't get it.
Yeah, and I don't see how feasible it is if you're a player. Like, say, okay, you know, your agent's trying to shop you around. It'll obviously get the best amount of money for you. And say you would get it from Tampa/Montreal. Why would you even ever consider that when you'd have to have two rents or two homes? You're paying double taxes. Whatever weird laws that they have, financial laws that they have in Canada, you now have to deal with. Like, I'd be like, F off.
Well, it helps. I mean, Tampa Bay doesn't sign free agents. So to that degree, it probably doesn't matter. You're not going to be dealing with free agents who won't sign with your team. You're just going to be dealing with the guys who don't want to be drafted by your team, and you're going to trade them away eventually. I mean, I have a hard time believing that this is the actual plan. Like, this isn't another one of these ploys, because I believe the Rays have gone down the road of building a new stadium multiple times. And I thought the one, and I don't know if you spent any time in Tampa, if you know where Ybor City is.
Yeah.
They had a plan in place to build a ballpark in that neighborhood. And you and I were talking off air about some of the neighborhoods in St. Louis and some of the places I visited. And Ybor City might be the only place in Tampa that I'd come close to describing as kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so it is a perfect neighborhood for a ballpark. And I think they were going to build something small so, you know, they could sell out with like 30,000. Like, that was the only plan, as dicey as it was, where I could see a success for the Tampa Bay Rays. This is like the opposite of that. I mean, really, am I ask the fans in Montreal, their choice is nothing or 3 months. I guess maybe they'll do it for a little while. But if I'm in Tampa, I'm hanging on by it as it is. It's the guy behind home plate who screams and 15 other people. And all right, you're going to have like 13 of those people abandon your team at that point.
Matt in Shirley, the town, on this Rays Montreal thing. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. I had a question. What if the Tampa Bay Rays make the playoffs, which is a very strong possibility for the next couple of years? Is it just going to be Expos fans at the end?
Right.
Which city will they play in?
Yeah. And so this, that's the other thing too. So we're talking about this because it was a big story in Major League Baseball over the last week. Like this wouldn't actually take place until, you know, for another 5-6 years, whenever the lease is actually up at the Trop, which I believe is actually 2027. And I still believe at the core of this, Marshall, is that this is just the first step of many of trying to get Tampa the hell out of there. Like, get the Rays out of Tampa. Maybe put them in, say, Nashville, you know, where you have a party city, you have an actual downtown, build a ballpark there, and okay, maybe you can be a more viable product in a city like Nashville, or hell, even Montreal full time. If you want, you bring them. So, yeah, when did you go to see the Expos when you were?
I actually, every time I go to Montreal, I'll say it's going to be my last time. I saw the Expos play there up until their final season, I believe. So over the course of like 94, 95, 96, I saw them play a lot of times.
Okay, but that 94 team, and that was the strike year, and talked a bit about this. Like, I don't know, when they were winning, they were packing that place. And granted, it's a dump and it's in a bad part of Montreal. I think if they put it somewhere a little bit more closer to downtown or a nicer part of the city, I do think there's an appetite for baseball in that city.
But one of the problems, because I hear this about Toronto as well, a lot of these teams that used to draw fans when they were, I think that the economics of the game have changed such that you can't just start anew and suddenly compete. Like, there was more of a level playing field when the Expos were winning in 94 than there is now. And if you don't have a vibrant fan base or a mega rich owner, neither of which exist in Montreal or Tampa, then you're not going to be able to ever build a contender. And without a contender, you're not going to be able to. So it's like a chicken and the egg thing. That if you have neither, there's no way to get the other.
All right. Well, then Vegas, then. Vegas and Nashville is where they should put the next
115 degrees in the middle of July.
In a dome. All right. Hook's going to get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines, then he's going to split. We'll bring in Joe Murray. And if you want to join the show, talk about last night's game or your Red Sox at 81 games, which they'll be playing tonight. Game 81. How do you feel about them at the halfway point? You want to see them sell or add, especially to that bullpen? 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sox come. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And a high twisting pop-up behind third down the line. Moving on it, Jimenez over near the wall. He'll make the play in fair ground. And they've got a man caught up. Where was Devers going? And he is out. And a double play. What on earth happened there?
Play right in front of you.
And that retires the side. 2-1 Chicago. Nobody out. Jackie aboard at first. He's running. Cut on and missed. The throw down. He's going to stop. And he's going to be tagged out.
And that's your missed hit and run.
When it backfires, it can be ugly.
Yeah, you take a shot like that, you're really not sure if Herrera's going to throw a strike, but he did, and he swung through it. And he's out by a mile because he's not just running. He's trying to
see to peek in.
Oh, yeah. Once you peek, I mean, he's out by a mile, obviously. Not a bad idea. It just didn't work.
So despite their stupidity on the base pass, the Red Sox still managed to win last night. Again, in walk-off fashion, 6-5, the final of the Chicago White Sox in game one of this three-game series. How do you like Rafael Devers in that fourth inning there? Slipping off the bag, You have a chance to actually tie that game. Again, they ultimately won, so you can sweep all this under the rug. But, you know, it's another game in which the Red Sox are winning, despite their stupidity, especially on the base paths. But you want to talk about anything from last night's game, have at it, 617-779-0985. Jim Murray in for Tony Maz. Marshall Hook has left. We have Joe Murray in now as well. It's game 81 on the schedule, 81 of 162 tonight, with David Price on the mound, Joe. And the question really is just, I want to take the temperature of the Red Sox fan, how they feel about their ball club going into the halfway point of the season tonight, and whether they should buy or sell. How have you felt about the Red Sox this season? I feel like when I've been in and out of listening to you on the weekends, I feel like really from the rip, you haven't been feeling it with this team this year.
No, I'm out. I still think there's a shot, obviously, with the, you know, the poor American League, you know, American League in general, and you know, who knows what the Rays will do at some point. But my whole thing is, who's somebody that you want to invest in with the team? Like, maybe it's Chris Sale, right? If he pitches well, you know, obviously he started off slow, but he has been better. But who's somebody that you want to invest in? You mentioned Devers. Maybe he's their best hitter right now. I don't know.
Bogarts, I think, is the one guy you can make like the strongest case for.
No, and he, you know, he won't even sniff the All-Star game because all the fans are upset he won't be in the All-Star game. But, yeah, overall, like, there's nothing for me to be excited about. You know, and like you couldn't get me to go to the game tonight in this humidity that's out there. And then David Price, like, you know, is he even going to go five innings? Are they going to take him out early? I think right now the story of the team is a win is a win. Whenever they get a win, like, that's the story of this year's Red Sox team. And the bullpen, they're just figuring it out at this point. But now that Steven Wright's back into the mix, like, they actually have expectations for this. And I couldn't believe Brandon Workman was 7-1 when I saw that. So it shows you how bad the bullpen's been, despite their 15 blown saves this year. But for the most part, there's just nothing for me to get excited about. And I'm going to enjoy my summer. They got to give me something to watch baseball games during the summer at this point.
Yeah, I'm mostly with you on that. I find them unlikable is probably too strong. There's something, I don't know. There is something about this team I just kind of find like, blech. I don't know. But that's just me. How do you feel about them? Because I know that there are still people that feel like they should invest to see Dave Dombrowski go out and invest into this bullpen. I think they should sell. At least sniff around with Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez. It was brought up from Pete Abraham in his column yesterday. Go to them with Betts specifically. Offer him another extension. He says no to it, then you know that you're not going to be able to deal with this guy in the future. You're not going to meet his number at $400 million if that's what he thinks he's going to get. You need to shop him now. You can't get nothing for Mookie Betts in the future.
And don't forget the guy that's on the mound tonight said, if the team doesn't improve, they're going to trade guys like Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez.
And Martinez being the other, a guy in his 30s dealing with back issues. Talk to him about that opt-out. If he wants nothing to do with it, you know he's not going to be here long-term. You shop him as well. At least you still have a really good core with Devers and Bogarts and Benintendi, even though it's been a down year for him, and you go from there. Scott in Connecticut, what do you want to see the Sox do?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
In a private moment, if I'm in the front office, I think they're sitting around saying, Mookie's already pretty much made it clear he's not coming back. JD's made it pretty clear he's not coming back. Even if he does, he's an overpaid DH with back problems for life. Who knows where Evaldi is? We don't want Porcello back. Damn it, we missed on Price. And Sale's days away from being a disaster. So you have to rebuild, like, really one way or the other. And what I would like to see is you rebuild around Devers, Bogarts, Chavis, Vasquez, Eduardo Rodriguez, the young kid with the huge bat, first baseman in the minors, and then you just take big outfield bats and pitchers from everybody else for what you're trading. And, I mean, try to get five closers in your bullpen and not have to worry about it.
Yeah,
thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Scott. If that means they just get a step backwards a bit for this year, and, you know, even if they end up making the wild card and they lose that game or whatever, they end up losing in the divisional round, like, all right, you take a step back. But you reset for the future. When you look at the guy who's in control of this, Dave Dombrowski, I think it's fair to look at the past and how he left the Detroit Tigers. You don't want to end up like that ball club. You still want to see the Red Sox field a competitive ball team for the next 5 to 10 years. So in that case, that's why you have to explore the options of trading, to me, J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, so you can replenish your farm system and bring in more youth so you can continue to put out a competitive ball club over the next 5 to 10 years. Because otherwise, you'll have an unwatchable product and a ballpark that's really only filled with tourists, you know, come 5 years from now. You know, you'll have your hardcores. But beyond that, you don't want to end up one of the dregs of Major League Baseball. 617-779-0985. Joe, while I got you, I'll pepper you with some of the same questions I asked Hook, because you and I haven't had an opportunity to work together in a little while. You know, so
What do you think about the – well, I'll give you some of the ones I gave to Hook. What do you think of the fact the Red Sox are playing a series in London against the Yankees this weekend?
I don't care at all. Again, this, let, are they trying to make it exciting for the fan and worse on the players? Like, that's the way I look at it. Why do they want to go, you know, oh, yeah, let's have a game in London. Like, it's going to change anything. It's the same thing with football. The Mexico City, thank God they canceled that thing because you got the Rams and the Chiefs game. The highest scoring game of the entire season.
The best regular season game of the year.
So that actually saved it. If you think of, so what? Now having baseball in London, the biggest rivalry in sports in London? Like, it's going to do nothing. Hey, what? Red Sox fans are excited to go for, oh, hey, yeah, you know, 4th of July is coming up. No, let's go to London instead of going, you know, renting something down the Cape for the weekend. So, no, I just think it's a thing that will make the players upset, especially the Boston Red Sox, who complain about so much.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we had to go to London this year, and we were coming off a championship and a hangover. Like, just another excuse for the Red Sox, if you ask me.
It's a good point. You know, they're actually setting themselves up to make that excuse. If it starts to go sideways when they come back and they're playing, well, I just mentioned one of the dregs, the Detroit Tigers, and they start to go into a bit of a tailspin, well, what are they going to point to? You just said it. Well, we had to go to London, and that was, you know, made us uncomfortable, or whatever the hell it would be. So, I don't know. I don't really see the point of it. And as I said to Hook, too, when you were coming in, part of it feels to me like a John Henry vanity project more than anything else. You know, it's like he has the ties with Liverpool and England, and, like, I just don't get it. Who does this really benefit? I don't understand.
Not the players.
No. Steven Hingham on Mookie Betts. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Go ahead.
So, basically, it goes back to last year during the parade after the championship when someone tossed a beer can Mookie Betts' way, and he had his family with him on the duck boat, and pretty much said he hated it from there on out, and his attitude this year seems to show it. I would get this guy out of town as quick as possible, see what you can get for him, and take it from there. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Steve. I don't know. I know Chris Casper, who I typically am with on Saturdays and does his appearance on Felger and Maz, Chris Casper, the Boston Globe. I think he knows more than what he leads on, that the Mookie Betts doesn't really like the experience here in Boston. And his attitude has definitely shifted, or it looks like he's not miserable, but I don't know. Like, it's been a slog of a season so far for Mookie Betts. The numbers certainly aren't what they are. Maybe that has to deal with the fact that he was offered the contract extension, he turned it down, and now the numbers are a little bit down, and he's regretting that fact. Or maybe he doesn't like being here. But if that's the case, if it's anything like that, this is why they get to explore training for this guy. If you know he doesn't want to be here, you have to try to recoup something from him now, while he is while you'll get the best return possible. You can't wait until the winter when that is going to drop, and you certainly can't wait for him to go to free agency where you get nothing except for a draft pick in return. You would be negligent if you let Mookie Betts walk. No, you go to him with an extension in the next 3 to 4 weeks. If he says no, then you got to try to move him while you can get the best possible return for him.
I just don't think they'll do it this year. I don't know if they have the guts to do it coming off winning a championship.
And him winning an MVP. That would take some serious balls. I don't think that they have it. I really don't think that they would do it. Quickly, the other thing I wanted to ask you that I asked Hook, the Rays exploring the possibility of splitting between Tampa Bay and Montreal. You in or out on this, Joe Murray?
I don't care. I'm not trying to be like a negative fan or, you know, somebody who's just negative about baseball in general. But, yeah, it's good for Montreal. Great. Like, are the fans going to start pouring in to root for the Rays in Tampa Bay? And listen, Tampa Bay, they need to figure out what they're going to do with the stadium at this point. Like, move to Orlando, right? I've been to Orlando a couple of times. There's enough real estate out there to put a baseball field. And so, I mean, to me, it's like, all right, yeah, we're going to get baseball back in Montreal. So we'll be in Tampa Bay here and Montreal there. Who is this benefiting? Just Montreal? It probably isn't going to benefit the Tampa Bay Rays, who will probably also come up with an excuse from going to Montreal and Tampa Bay, even though the flight's probably not that bad.
I said it was their first step, Tampa, to try to get that team out of that area. So try to maybe to get it to Nashville, and they're just planting the seeds to, you know, get themselves out of a place where people do not care, even though they're one of the better teams in Major League Baseball this year. And they're at one point when they were in first place, maybe like a month ago, I think that they drew like 4,000 people to the Trop. The place is a dump anyway, but people really don't care. So maybe get them to Nashville, maybe throw this out there so that they can start exploring the possibilities. Or this was just something to drum up people. It's something to talk about with the team in Major League Baseball. I wouldn't put it past them. This is kind of like, remember the IHOP thing from last summer? This thing blew up social media. It was the most talk. It's the most that anyone talked about Major League Baseball last week, pretty much all season. And it might have just been like an internet gimmick more than anything else. I wouldn't put it past them.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.